بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا وقائدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم، وأنعم علينا يا عظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، My brothers and sisters in Islam, all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace be upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there's no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. And my brothers and sisters, I congratulate every single one of you for the coming of the great month, the month of Ramadan. This month that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum used to be seen as the most happiest people when the month of Ramadan used to arrive. And they used to see as the saddest people when the month of Ramadan used to end. This month that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to stand up in front of the companions and deliver a speech saying, Ja'akum shahr Ramadan. The month of Ramadan had came. A month full of blessings. A month full of blessings, mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alayhi salatu wa salam, he says that the beginning of this month, the month of Ramadan, is a mercy. Full of mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Full of mercies from Allah Almighty. And halfway through that month is forgiveness from Allah Almighty. And the ending of that month is a saving from the hellfire. And how much are we indeed in need to be saved from the hellfire. A month that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says that when the month of Ramadan comes, Allah Azza wa Jal will open the gates of the heavens, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order the gates of the hellfire to be closed. And Allah Azza wa Jal will order the shayateen to be locked up. So Allah Azza wa Jal will give the opportunity to His servants to turn back to Him. This is the month that Allah Azza wa Jal will open His hands to His servants, for those who have been far away from Him to turn back to Him. For those who had been disobeying Him to start obeying Him. For those who have been neglecting His orders to start remembering His orders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful, and Allah Azza wa Jal is the most forgiving. Almighty, He says that my mercy beats my anger. My mercy beats my anger. And it's written under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the mercy of Allah beats His anger. Allah Azza wa Jal wants good for His servants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants success for His servants. And Allah Azza wa Jal wants happiness for His servants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants His servants to enter the paradise. But it's very rare that those who understand and know. Very rare those who understand and know, as Allah Almighty says, وَقَلِيلٌ مَا هُمْ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always says about the believers, and there is a very small number of them. And He speaks about those who thank Him. وَقَلِيلٌ مَا هُمْ وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. And it's very small a number of my servants, those who thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A true mu'min, a true believer, waits and can't wait for the month of Ramadan to come. The true mu'min loves the month of Ramadan. The true mu'min can't wait for the month of Ramadan to come. But it's a weakness of iman in those that when the month of Ramadan comes, it's like stress over them. The month of Ramadan comes, it's like they're losing money in that month of Ramadan. Why? Because they are fasting and they can't work as hard as they work before the month of Ramadan to make money as they used to make money before the month of Ramadan. But the mu'min knows that the true success and the true treasure and the true happiness comes through the month of Ramadan. I'll give an example. The month of Ramadan is an example of you going past the island. And on the island, all this gold and silver and treasure. And you only have 10 minutes 10 minutes to try and collect as much as he can from carrying silver and gold and jewelry. Or else after that 10 minutes, that boat is leaving. So what are you doing those 10 minutes? You forget about everything and you focus on trying to collect and gain as much as you can gain from that treasure and from that gold and silver. Same thing, the month of Ramadan is that month that goes past 30 days or 29 days during the year, and you take opportunity and advantage to try and collect as much as hasanat as you can. To try and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you can. To try and become a better mu'min as you can. To try and wipe out the sins as you can. To try and become a better Muslim and a believer in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the month of Ramadan. 30 days or 29 days will go past. You make the most out of it. You succeed. And you'll succeed in this world and the hereafter. You do not make the most out of it. You lose in this world and the hereafter. Once again, my brothers and sisters, the month of Ramadan is a treasure that goes past through the year. You take advantage of that month and you make as much as hasanat you can. Those who have been disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal for the last 11 months, He, Allah, had given you the opportunity to wipe those sins that you have been committing in the past 11 months. Those who had missed out on the hasanat in the past 11 months, He, Allah Azza wa Jal, had given you the month of Ramadan to make up for those hasanat you missed out on. Those who need to get the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal and the mercy of Allah, now the month of Ramadan is the month Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send His forgiveness and mercy down. The beginning of that month is a mercy. Halfway through that month is forgiveness. And at the end of that month is a saving from the hellfire. Saving from the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykumu siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqoon. La'allakum tattaqoon, so you could increase your piety. Allah Almighty addresses the believers, He says, Oh, those who believe, Allah had prescribed fasting on you, the way He had prescribed it on the nations before you. Which means that Allah Azza wa Jal had prescribed and ordered the nations before the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fast. But their fasting was different to our fasting in the time and the way and the method of fasting. But the fasting of the month of Muhammad, the fasting of the nation of Muhammad is the greatest of fasting because it's in the best and the greatest of months through the year, the month of Ramadan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, all those who believe, Allah had prescribed on you to fast like the way He prescribed on the nations before you to fast. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ So you could increase your taqwa and piety. So you could increase your taqwa and your piety. So one of the main reasons, one of the main great purposes from behind fasting is to increase the taqwa, to increase the piety, to increase the fearing of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because with taqwa, my brothers and sisters, taqwa is the key of success. Taqwa is the key of happiness. Taqwa is the key of worship. Taqwa, my brothers and sisters, is to fear Allah Azza wa Jal the way He should be feared. As Allah Almighty, He says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ittaqu Allah haqqa tuqatih. Ittaqu Allah haqqa tuqatih. All those who believe, fear Allah, your Lord, the way He should be feared. And do not die unless you're on a state of Islam. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, all those who believe. This addressing is to me and you and to everyone that believes in Allah Almighty. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, all those who believe. Taqullah, fear Allah, the way He should be feared. اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. And do not die unless you're in a state of Islam. Do not die unless you're in a state of Islam, believing in the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal and following the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fearing Allah the way He should be feared. Taqwa, a common word that we constantly hear, but do we have it in our life? So what's taqwa and the meaning of taqwa and the fruits of taqwa? Taqwa, my brothers and sisters, means fearing Allah Azza wa Jal. Fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having that fear in your heart. Having that fear in your heart. And with Allah Almighty, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator, Allah Azza wa Jal, the Almighty, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator. When you fear Him, you get closer to Him. Not like anyone else. When you fear them, you run away from them. But Allah, when you fear Him, you run to Him. But anyone else, if you fear them, you run away from them. If you fear someone with authority, you always run away from them. If you fear someone with strength, you run away from them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you fear Him, you get closer to Him. When you fear Him, you want to get closer to Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa is having that fear of Allah Azza wa Jal in your heart. And when you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know Allah Azza wa Jal, and you know His great attribute, and you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His great creation, and you know Allah is watching you, and you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge you, and you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish you, then in return, you have fear of Allah in your heart, and in return of that fear, you obey Allah. You obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah tells you to do something, you do it straight away. When Allah Azza wa Jal tells you keep away from something, you keep away from it straight away. This is the taqwa. This is the taqwa. The taqwa is to fear Allah by obeying Allah. To fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by obeying Allah Azza wa Jal. And obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing what Allah tells you to do and to keep away from what Allah Azza wa Jal tells you to keep away from. Taqwa does not only mean that you worship Allah and you pray to Allah and you fast to Allah and you sacrifice for Allah and in return you disobey Allah. For that, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advises one of the companions and he tells him, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمَ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. Keep away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forbidden. You'll be the most pious person. Keep away from the haram. You'll have great piety in you. So the true meaning of taqwa is the full 100% obedience to Allah. Because some people obey Allah by praying, by fasting, by donating, by doing a lot of the good, in return they commit the haram. In return they take riba. In return they steal. In return they commit zina. In return they backbite. In return they slander. In return they cause fitna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the taqwa from His servant to obey Him when Allah tells them to do, they do. When Allah azza wa jal tells them not to do, they stop. And one of the great exercises, one of the great training to strengthen the taqwa in the heart is what Allah Almighty said in the Quran al-Kareem. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kutiba alaykumus siyamu, kama kutiba ala ladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqoon. All those who believe, Allah had prescribed on you fasting, the way He prescribed on the nations before you, so you could increase your taqwa. So you could increase your taqwa. So my brothers and sisters, with fasting, with siyam, you increase your taqwa. With fasting, with siyam, you increase the fear of Allah in your heart. With fasting, with siyam, you'll be in the level of ihsan in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had described ihsan as to be أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. إحسان, one of the highest levels of a worship and a mu'min is to worship Allah as if you could see Him. Is to worship Allah as if you could see Him. But the reality is, you don't see Allah Azza wa Jal. And you would never see Allah in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't see you. And that's what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Al-ihsan is to worship Allah as if you could see Him, but you can't see Allah, Allah can't see you. When you have that firm belief in your heart that Allah is watching you, and Allah azza wa jal is seeing you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees every single little and big and major and minor action of yours, then
you really have taqwa in your heart. Because once that enters the heart, then you will never, ever disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you work at work, and your boss tells you, for example, no speaking on the mobile phone during work hours, and your boss is standing there, watching you with his eyes, or there's a camera watching you, would you ever dare to do that? No. Why? Because the reality of your boss or your manager is the reality of them watching you is in your heart, especially when you could see them watching you, and especially when you know they are watching you. But once the boss or the manager's not there, you'll take advantage to speak on the mobile phone. And when you have that yaqeen, when you have that piety, when you have that firm belief in your heart that Allah is indeed is watching you, and Allah is always watching you, and subhanahu wa ta'ala sees everything and knows everything, jalla wa ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees everything, hears everything, and knows everything, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing will happen in this world without His permission. Allah Almighty says, وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا بِعِلْمِهِ. Nothing will happen unless He wants. And even a leaf from a tree would not fall without His consent, would not fall without Allah's permission. Not even a leaf from the tree will fall without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission. Nothing. No one will be born into this world without Allah's permission. No one will leave this world without Allah's permission. You can't breathe a breath without Allah's permission. You can't take a step without Allah's permission. You can't speak a word without Allah's permission. You can't eat a bite without Allah's permission. You can't blink an eye without Allah's permission. And your heart would not beat one beat without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission. For that, you and everything around you belongs to Allah. And for that, you in the hands and the control of Allah Azza wa Jal. And for that, you must fear Allah. You must fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must fear Allah Azza wa Jal. And you must constantly fear Allah Almighty. One of the young men went to a wise man asking him to take an advice from him, telling him, I always fall into the haram. Wouldn't you recommend something for me that will always remind me not to fall into the haram? So that wise man, he told him, when you want to commit the haram, remember four things. Remember that when you commit the haram, or you attempt to commit the haram, never eat from the food of Allah, and never drink from the water of Allah. So this youngster said, how could this happen when all the food belongs to Allah, and all the water belongs to Allah? So that wise man, he said, how can you? How could you or dare you disobey Allah and in return eat His food and drink His water? And then he told him, when you attempt to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, or think of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not live on the land of Allah. Do not live on His land. Do not live on His property. So this young man, he said, how could this happen when everything belongs to Allah? When everything subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs to Him? He said, how could you or dare you disobey Allah and in return live on His land? And then he told him, when you want to disobey Allah or think of disobeying Allah, go to a place where Allah can't see you. He said, this is impossible. Allah sees everything. He sees the ant in the middle of the night under the dark, large rock. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, how could you disobey Allah and in return, do it in front of Him. Aren't you sure of yourself? And then he told him, and lastly, when you commit the haram, and you gain all those sins, and you have mountains of sins, and the angel of death comes to take you, then tell him, I am not coming with you. He said, this is impossible. He would never accept. So he told him in return, how could you disobey Allah? How could you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And taqwa, my brothers and sisters, is that barrier that the servant of Allah puts between him and the haram. And that's what some of the scholars define taqwa as, أَن تَجْعَلَ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ حَاجِبًا. Taqwa is to make a barrier between you and the disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. Is to have a wall between you and the sins. is to have a wall between you and the haram. This is the true meaning of taqwa. And fasting is one of the training and exercises and means and methods that increases the taqwa in the son of Adam, that increases the taqwa in the believer, that increases the taqwa in a Muslim. And how does that happen? When you are alone in a room, here you are alone in the house, and you're so hungry, or you're so thirsty, and the food is in front of you, and the water is in front of you, and no one is around. And then a whisper will come in your mind, saying, I want to eat, or I want to drink. So you come to eat and drink, and then you remember, saying, no way, I'll eat and drink. But no one is watching you. And then you say, but I'm not going to eat and drink because I break my fasting. But there's no one around. Your father's not there. Your mother's not there. Your wife is not there. Your brother, your sister, your friends are not there. And you still stop yourself from eating and drinking. What made you stop yourself from eating and drinking? What made you stop yourself from breaking your fast? Knowing that deep in your heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. Knowing deep in your heart that Allah Azza wa Jalla will record this day on you that you did not fast that day. And for that you stop yourself from eating and drinking, although there's no one is watching you. See how the taqwa comes in the heart. See how the taqwa increases in your heart. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. For fasting, all those who believe, Allah had prescribed fasting on you the way He prescribed it on the nations before you, so you could increase your taqwa. You increase your taqwa. And when you have taqwa, Allah will be with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Allah Almighty, He says, Allah is with those who fear Him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. When you fear Allah, Allah will be with you. And when Allah is with you, then what should you worry about anything? When you have Allah on your side, when Allah is with you, who will turn against you? And when you are against Allah, who would be with you? Who will be with you? When you fear Allah Azza wa Jal, then you'll get closer to Allah. And when you get closer to Allah, Allah will get closer to you. And when Allah is close to you, Allah is with you. When Allah is with you, then you should not worry about anything, because you've got the taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you, you should always remember what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Bakr. Told Abu Bakr, who the Prophet alayhi salatu was salam, the best of muttaqeen, the best of those who fear Allah. With Abu Bakr, the best of those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they were hiding in the cave of Thawr and the non-believers came. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Bakr to calm him down. Ya Abu Bakr, la tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana. Oh Abu Bakr, don't be afraid, don't be sad, don't be frightened. Allah is with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. This is the taqwa. And when you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jalla says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. And those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will make an opening for them. You'll be in a situation. You'll be in a situation, stuck in a problem. You look around, you try to get support, no one supports you. You want a solution and you can't think of that solution, or you can't find that solution. But when you fear Allah, Allah will give you the solution. And that's where Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. And those who fear Allah, Allah will make a great opening for them. Subhanallah, out of nowhere, the solution just comes down. You are stuck. No one is around to help you, and no one wants to help you. And if there's someone to help you, you don't even know how for them to help you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. And those who fear Allah, Allah will make an opening for them. So when you are stuck in a problem, return to Allah, and Allah azza wa jalla will make an opening. When there's something hard, turn to Allah, Allah will make it easy on you. When something is difficult, turn to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will straighten up for you. I remember the story, and I always mention this story, the story of Ibn Mu'alaq, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he used to trade between Mecca and Syria. And one day, on his journey, on his business journey, halfway through the journey, a high robber comes up to him and tells him, I want to take your wealth and money, and I want to kill you in return. So Ibn Mu'alaq tells him, why would you want to do that to me? Just take my wealth and leave me alone. He said, I insist The high robber said, I insist on taking your money and killing you. He said, if you do insist, then give me the chance and opportunity to pray the last 4 rakat in my life. So Ibn Malik will get that chance from the high robber. And he prays 4 rakat to Allah. And then he resorts to Allah by supplicating to Allah, where no one will hear him except Allah. And no one will support him except Allah. And no one will save him from that matter except Allah. And no one will make an opening for him except Allah. And he says, oh Allah, you are the Lord of this universe. Oh Allah, I ask you by your greatness and by your great light to save me and support me from this thief. Ya Mughith Aghithni, Ya Mughith Aghithni, Ya Mughith Aghithni, oh Allah, you are the supporter, support me from this man. Ya Allah, you are the supporter, support me from this man. Ya Allah, you are the supporter, the Mughith Aghithni, support me from this man. And he, Ibn Ma'laq, will turn around and he'll find the high robber dead on the ground. Allahu Akbar, who's standing beside him? A strong, gigantic, brave warrior standing beside him. He tells him, Ibn Mu'alaq, by Allah, by my mother and my father, who are you, the one that Allah just supported me with now? This brave warrior will say, I am an angel that came down from the fourth heaven to support you with the dua that you made. I am an angel that came down from the fourth heaven to support you by the dua that you made. He said, when you made the first dua, oh Allah, you are the supporter, support me. The heavens shook. And then when you made the second dua, oh Allah, you are the supporter, support me. The angels in the heavens were screaming out loud saying, there is someone in need. Oh Allah, support him. And the third time, when you said, oh Allah, you are the supporter, support me, I said to Allah, oh Allah, let me and allow me to support him. This is وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. And whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal will make an opening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make an opening. It's been narrated on one of the pious men. One of the pious men when he was young. His mother used to always teach him on the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla and piety and relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every time he used to come back from the Islamic school, she used to tell him before he used to ask for his food, pray 2 rak'ah to Allah and ask him for the food and Allah will give you the food. And then his mother will put the food in a cabin or will put the food in a cabinet or a cupboard. And then she'll tell him after he prays to Allah, open the cupboard and you found your food there and Allah had sustained you. She raised her son on the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this son, every time he comes, he prayed 2 rak'ah to Allah, asking Allah for the food, and then he'll again open the cupboard. And his mum used to always put the food in there before he opens the cupboard. And one day he came where his mum left on an emergency call. And he comes, and his mum did not put food there. And he prayed 2 rak'ah to Allah. And because of the relying on Allah and the piety he had in his heart, he opened the cupboard and he found food from Allah there. This is the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You fear Allah azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always give you something in return. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. So with taqwa, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to always recommend the companions and used to always tell them, اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ فِي Allah. And when he used to send a companion on a duty, he used to tell him, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ فِي Allah. And when he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen, he told him, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتْ فِي Allah, wherever you are. Fear Allah wherever you are. The way is to fear Allah in Medina. Fear Allah in Yemen. And the way is to fear Allah in Yemen. Fear Allah between Medina and Yemen. And the way is to fear Allah in Medina and Yemen. Fear Allah everywhere. اتق الله حيثما كنت واتبع السيئه الحسنه تمحها. And follow the bad sin with a good sin. Allah will wipe the bad sin. وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. And have good manners and morals towards people. Also, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I had found the most heaviest things on the scale in the hereafter. Taqwa Allah, the fear of Allah, wa husnul khuluq, and the good manners. Taqwa Allah, the fear of Allah, wa husnul khuluq, the good manners. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He speaks about a man in the previous nations. He was on his deathbed, and this man had committed all the sorts of sins in his life. And he realized that he's facing Allah, and will be facing Allah. And he realized that this man had committed, he realized from himself he had committed all the major sins. So there's no way for him except to enter the hellfire. So what he did, he wanted to run away from that. He told his children while he was on his deathbed, he said, once I die, burn me. And once I turn to ashes, divide half of me in the oceans and the other half on land. So his children told him, oh father, what are you doing this for? This is not acceptable. So the father insisted. He said, you must do that after my death. So his children did what the father requested before his death, after his death. They burnt him, and after he turned to ashes, they divided half of him, half in the water, half in the sea and the ocean, and the other half on land. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty, subhanahu wa ta'ala, la ilaha illahu, no God except him, Allahu Akbar, the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest, brought him back the way he was. Allah azza wa jal brought him back the way he was. And then he told him, oh my servant, what made you do what you did? Oh my servant, what made you do what you did? Asking your children to burn you. And when you turn to ashes to be divided, some of you in the ocean, the other part on land. So he said, oh Allah, I did that because I feared you. So Allah said, in return, go to the paradise. In return, I forgive you and go to the paradise. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fear of Allah azza wa jal. Taqwa Allah. How can we get this taqwa? How can we increase from that taqwa? How can we gain this taqwa? Through the month of Ramadan and fasting. Through the month of Ramadan and fasting, one of the greatest and the best of opportunities to increase that taqwa is in the month of Ramadan. And what's more required that after you increase your taqwa is to continue increasing your taqwa after the month of Ramadan. A lot of people, the month of Ramadan will come, they get so pumped up, or they get so motivated, or they get so enthusiastic. And then, after the month of Ramadan, they become worse than what they used to be before the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, قُلِ اللَّهَ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Say, Allah, then become steadfast. Allah requires from us to be steadfast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to be firm and continuously and constantly to be firm on the orders of Allah azza wa jal. And in this month, my brothers and sisters, let's take advantage of the fasting. Let's make sure that we fast the proper way. Let's make sure that we fast and we take from fasting what's required from us to take. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He says, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith al-Qudusi, As-sawmu li wa ana ajzibi. Fasting is for me, and I'm the one that reward my servants for fasting. All the rewards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown His servants, or most of the rewards Allah azza wa has shown His servants, if you do this, you get that. Another interpretation of the scholars that Allah had assigned the angels to record the other rewards, except fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself had said He'll record those rewards. Or Allah azza wa jal had kept the rewards of the fasting till the day of judgment to be shown to His servants. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He said that some people, for their fasting, the only thing they get from their fasting is being hungry and thirsty during the day. And some people pray the night, and the only thing they get from praying at night is to be tired. In other words, they didn't get any rewards. Why? Because fasting must be with sincerity. I must fast for the sake of Allah, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I must fast in accordance to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For that, make sure that you do not end up at the end of the month of Ramadan, that you just fasted and you did not get any rewards, and the only thing that you got in return, that you've lost weight, or wallahi, you just became more hungry or thirsty because you did not have the right intention. And for that, be sincere in your fasting. Take advantage of the month of Ramadan to strengthen and to perfect your pillar and the main pillar of your religion, which is Salah. The month of Ramadan is a great opportunity for us to perfect our Salah. So for those who do not pray, make sure you start praying in the month of Ramadan and continue praying to the day you die. For those who pray, make sure you increase from the prayers. If you do not pray Sunnah, you start praying Sunnah. If you do not pray the Nawafil, you start praying the Nawafil. And for those who do pray the Sunnah, make sure you increase from your khushu' and your devotion and concentration in the Salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. believers had indeed succeeded. Those who devote and concentrate in their prayers. Those who devote and concentrate in their prayers. Take advantage of the month of Ramadan to strengthen your prayers. And to pray on time if you're not praying on time. And to pray in jama'ah if you're not praying in jama'ah. And to attend the mosque if you do not attend the mosque. Don't be from those. Ramadan comes. You come to the mosque every single day and become the guest of Allah every single day. And you earn the rewards of attending the mosque every single day. Then after the month of Ramadan, you stop. After the month of Ramadan, you stop. My brothers and sisters, you should always increase and try and increase and increase and increase. Why is that when it comes to money, we all want to increase from that money? When it comes to strength, we want to increase from strength. When it comes to buying cars, we want to increase from buying cars. When it comes to everything in this world, we want to increase from it. When it comes to our religion and the hereafter, we want to decrease from it. We want to reduce. We want to do the minimal. And when it comes to the dunya, we want to do the maximum. We want to do the maximum. We want to do what's more. And when it comes to the deen, we can do the minimal and we'll do what's less. It's got to be the opposite. It's got to be the opposite. This dunya is created for you and you are created for the hereafter. This dunya is created for you and you are created for the hereafter. This dunya is just a temporary time. And the hereafter is the permanent time. So don't waste what's permanent for what's temporary. Don't waste something major for something little and minor. So take advantage of your salah during the month of Ramadan. Take advantage of reciting the Quran. The month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran. And it's the month that the Quran had been revealed in. Take advantage of this month to recite the Quran. Take advantage of this month to try and finish the Quran as many times as you can. Put your time in the Quran. Instead of putting your time with movies and TV and other foolish things and waste time things, put your time with the Quran. Read the Quran. Read as much as you can from the Quran. Read as many pages you can from the Quran al-Kareem. Try and finish the Quran al-Kareem. Put yourself a program. I'll read every single day 10 pages. Or I'll read 20 pages. Or I'll read 50 pages. Or I'll read 100 pages a day. I'll read as much as Quran I can. Try and finish the Quran. Even if it's once in the whole month. Finish and recite the Quran al-Kareem. This is the month of the Quran. This is the month that Allah revealed the Quran in. And this is the month of Ramadan. Also, take advantage to donate in the path of Allah. Every hasana in the month of Ramadan is multiplied to hundreds. Every hasana in the month of Ramadan is multiplied to hundreds. Take advantage of donating in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Donate for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. Give and sacrifice. And remember, whatever you give for Allah, Allah will give you in return. And whatever you sacrifice for Allah, you never lose. And whatever you give for Allah will always be taken care of by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever you invest with Allah, you never lose. You never lose if you invest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any big company that makes and turns over millions of dollars a year will always want to invest with them. Why? Because it's a big company. There's no one bigger and greater than Allah. Invest with Allah and remember whatever you invest with Allah, you would never lose. So take advantage of donating in the month of Ramadan. Also take advantage of the dua. Always make dua in the month of Ramadan. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always supplicate to Allah. Raise your hands to Allah as a humble servant of Allah. Asking Allah because there's no one else to support and help you except Allah. So ask Allah. Supplicate to Allah. Humiliate and humble yourself to Allah. And always make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dua, the weapon of the Muslim. The dua is the weapon of the Muslim. The dua is the greatest weapon that Allah had given to the Muslims. Is the dua, the supplication. The supplication is what made the impossible possible. The supplication made miracles. The supplication and the dua made the companions defeat an army that was 10 times more than them. It's the dua. So the dua, take advantage of the dua and ask Allah. Always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the good of this world and the good of the hereafter. And always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you steadfast on this deen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to always make dua. Ya muqallib al qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Oh Allah, you are the change of the hearts. Change my heart towards you. So his wife Aisha told him, O Prophet of Allah, always hear you make this dua.
So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Aisha, the hearts of the servants of Allah are around the fingers of Allah. He changes them however He wants. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So always ask Allah to keep you firm. Always ask Allah to keep you steadfast. Always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you strong. Always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you from among those who believe. Always ask Allah to make you from those who live on Islam and die on Islam and resurrect with Islam. Always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dua, the weapon of the Muslim. And also take advantage of the month of Ramadan to be generous. To be generous to people, starting off with your parents. بِرَّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. That Allah had ordained to worship no one but Him. And then straight after His worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke what's so important after His worship. Your parents. Your parents. Be dutiful to your parents. Be generous to your parents. Be good to your parents. Try and always get their rada, their pleasure, and always try and please them in what pleases Allah Azza wa Jal, of course. فَلَا طَاعَةِ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. There is no disobedience to the Creator by obeying the creation. Always try and please your parents. Always be there for your parents. Always try and do something that pleases your parents. Even if it's the smallest thing. Even if it's the smallest thing. Your parents. Your parents. Your parents. Remember what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. That someone that disobeys his parents will never enter the paradise. Someone that disobeys his parents will never enter the paradise. Someone that mistreats his parents will never enter the paradise. Someone that's ruthless to his parents will never enter the paradise. Someone that's rude to his parents will never enter the paradise. Someone that disrespects his parents will never enter the paradise. Someone that looks down on his parents will never enter the paradise. Even if they were non-believers. Even if they were non-believers, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِي عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطَحْهُمَا. And if your parents order you to assert, if your parents order you to leave Islam and associate another Lord beside me, don't obey them. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. And be friendly to them. Even if they were disobedience, be friendly to your parents. No one gives you the right. No one gives you the right, no matter what your parents say or do, to disrespect your parents or look down at your parents. So be generous to your parents and take care of your parents. Also be generous to your kinship, silatul rahim. Be generous to your cousin and take care of your cousins. And always keep ties with your cousins. Keep ties with your cousins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the corruption on earth starts when people start cutting off their kinship. When people start disrespecting their cousins. When people start disrespecting their aunties and their uncles. Disrespecting their aunt brothers and sisters. Disrespecting their aunt niece and nephews. They are your kinship. Take care of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told the silat al-rahim. Had told the rahim. Had told the kinship. O rahim, man wasalaki wasaltu, wa man qata'aki qata'tu. Whoever keeps ties with you, I keep ties with him. And whoever cuts off ties with you, I cut off ties with him. I cut off ties from him. So keep your relationship with the kinship. Also be generous to your Muslim brothers. Also be generous to your Muslim sisters. Take care of each other. Respect one another. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا تحاسدوا. Do not envy one another. لا تباغضوا. Do not hate one another. لا تدابروا. Do not turn back on each other. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. And be the servants of Allah as brothers. الْمُؤْمِنُ أَخُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. The mu'min is the brother of another mu'min. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Indeed. And verily, as Allah says, that the believers are brothers. The believers are sisters. They love one another, respect one another, and support each other. الْمُؤْمِنُ أَخُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the believer is a brother of another believer. لَا يَظْلِمْهُ. He does not oppress him. وَلَا يَخْذِلْهُ. He does not betray him. وَلَا يَسْلِمْهُ. And he does not give him up. This is the Muslim and this is the mu'min. So be generous to your Muslim brothers and be generous to your Muslim sisters and be generous to the Muslims and show a good image of Islam. Show a good image of Islam to the Muslims. Share the true image of Islam to the non-Muslims. Share Islam and the true da'wah and the preaching and the call of Islam to the non-Muslims, because the non-Muslims will enter Islam through you. They're not going to enter Islam through books. They're not going to enter Islam through reading. They're not going to enter Islam through writing, through anything except you. They'll look at you and look at your image and they'll see it. If it's a good image, they'll enter Islam. If it's a bad image, they'll turn away from Islam. That's why be a door. Be an open door where people will enter Islam through you. And then be a closed off door where people will turn away from Islam. And lastly, my brothers and sisters, Qiyam al-Layl. Qiyam al-Layl, waking up the nights and praying to Allah in the month of Ramadan. Qiyam al-Layl, waking up the nights and praying to Allah Azza wa Jal. As we mentioned in the beginning, the Salah and pray. And one of the greatest prayers of the Salah is Qiyam al-Layl. And Qiyam al-Layl is the Taraweeh. The Taraweeh, the 8 rak'at that you pray after Isha. And whatever you can add on that before Fajr, it's always praised. It's always been great. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of prayer. The best of prayer after the Fard, the best of prayer after the Fard is Qiyam al-Layl. That prayer that it's only for the believers. Why? Because you get up in a moment where everyone is asleep. No one is watching you. So there's nothing. There's nothing that you could show off about. There's nothing that you could have pride on. There's nothing that you could show people. So it's indeed only sincerely for Allah Azza wa Jal. You get up at that time and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once again, my brothers and sisters, the month of Ramadan, it's a corner. It's around the corner. A few days, a few hours away. It's next week. Allahu A'lam, Sunday or Monday, subhanahu wa ta'ala, A'lam, should be declared on the day of Sarai night or Sarai Maghrib. My brothers and sisters, take advantage of that month. Do not fall in one of the tricks of the shaitan, which he says, when the month of Ramadan comes, hit it hard and go and keep on praying at once. But you need to warm up before that. And that's what I told you from today. Warm up for the month of Ramadan. Get yourself ready for the month of Ramadan. And have the intentions that what you're starting off in the month of Ramadan, you will never cut. Have the intentions that what you start off in the month of Ramadan, you continue doing it till the day you die. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always give you according to what you intend. So have the intentions, inshaAllah. And also take advantage of your time, because shaitan works so hard to take the time away from me in the month of Ramadan. Abu Hassan al-Basri, he says, O the son of Adam, you, your life is made out of time. You, your life is made out of time. So when some of your time goes past, that means some of you is gone. Some of you is gone. So take advantage of the month of Ramadan. And lastly, inshaAllah, this Thursday, inshaAllah, we'll focus our topic on the do's and don'ts of the month of Ramadan. The halal and the haram in the month of Ramadan. What's required of our fasting? How do we fast? What's permissible during the month of Ramadan? What's not permissible? All the rulings of the month of Ramadan. I encourage every single one of you to be here. So you don't start your fasting and then 10 days later you realize you've been fasting the wrong way. And then you have to make up those 10 days. And it's not an excuse, I didn't know. You must learn before you go. And inshallah, lastly, my brothers and sisters, don't forget Thursday. Thursday, inshallah, we'll do the do's and don'ts. In Ramadan, we'll be having the lessons on Sunday after Asr. In Ramadan, the lesson is on Sunday after Asr, which is the best time that I thought will be suitable for you. So inshallah, you wake up and straight away come here. Because most people stay awake all night. So inshallah, Ramadan, Sunday after Asr. And inshallah, we'll ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I'll ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make it easier for everyone. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wa jazakum Allah khair. And inshallah, we'll see you Thursday.